Have you ever considered how easily your life could be dismantled by someone who really understands the systems designed to protect you? In Think Twice, we're plunged into this nightmarish scenario through a chilling blueprint for the perfect frame-up. The novel opens not with a whodunit mystery, but with a methodical how-to guide for destroying an innocent person's life. The process is terrifyingly precise. Using a sleeping victim's thumb to access their biometric gun safe, collecting DNA from discarded tissues and coffee cups, carefully driving their car to commit crimes while ensuring traffic cameras capture the vehicle. What makes this approach so disturbing is how it weaponizes our modern security infrastructure. The very technologies meant to protect us, DNA analysis, digital tracking, surveillance cameras, become tools for entrapment. In today's world, scientific evidence trumps eyewitness testimony. Juries trust DNA matches with their 99.9% accuracy rates. They believe in digital footprints showing exactly where a phone was located. But what if someone deliberately manipulates that evidence? This isn't just fiction. It's a reflection of our increasing vulnerability in a digitized world. Every day, we leave behind countless traces of ourselves that could be collected and repurposed. Your coffee cup at a cafe, your fingerprints on a door handle, the GPS data from your phone, all potential weapons in the hands of someone determined enough to use them against you. Sports agent Myron Bolitar's routine shatters when FBI agents ask where Greg Downing is. Shocking, because his former basketball rival supposedly died 3 years ago. Their relationship was always complicated, fierce competitors since college with intertwined lives. Myron attended Greg's memorial service and witnessed the cremation. Yet somehow, Greg's DNA appears at a murder scene. The questions multiply rapidly. If Greg faked his death, who helped him? What drives someone to abandon their identity so completely? When Wynn, Myron's closest friend and business partner, abruptly leaves the meeting, it suggests he knows more than he's revealing. Their friendship, built on trust despite Wynn's morally ambiguous tendencies, suddenly seems unstable. Death often clarifies relationships. We form opinions about people, only to have those certainties challenged when new information emerges. Greg's apparent resurrection forces Myron to question not just his rival, but himself and those closest to him. The layers of deception begin to peel away as Wynn admits he likely helped Greg disappear years ago. Then comes Emily's bombshell. Jeremy, the boy Greg raised, is actually Myron's biological son. This revelation transforms the investigation. Myron isn't just looking into his old rival's disappearance, he's searching for the man who raised his own child. The stakes become intensely personal. Emily's discovery of Greg's secret Instagram account with intimate messages to a young male fitness model named Beau Storm reveals another dimension to Greg's life. The web tightens when they learn Beau worked at a gay sports bar connected to Jordan Kravitz, murdered 5 years ago. Coincidentally, when both Beau and Greg vanished. What emerges is Greg Downing as a man of multiple lives, basketball coach, father, and someone possibly exploring a hidden sexual identity. As these separate worlds collide, the potential for violence becomes increasingly clear. As the investigation deepens, a disturbing pattern emerges across 7 connected murders in different states. Their signature isn't that they remain unsolved, but that they were too quickly solved, with overwhelming evidence against potentially innocent people. This reveals a rare modern serial killer who frames others rather than leaving unsolved cases. By closing investigations with apparent perpetrators, they conceal their work behind seemingly unrelated crimes. The cases follow a consistent pattern across victims like Tracy Kading, Walter Stone, and Philip Barry. In each instance, the evidence appears too perfect. Murder weapons conveniently found, DNA at crime scenes, digital footprints placing suspects at the scene. What connects these disparate cases? only Greg Downing, who links two murders, placing him either at the conspiracy's center or as its primary target. Our justice system's vulnerability lies in its reliance on scientific evidence. We trust DNA and digital footprints so completely, we rarely question their authenticity, making them perfect tools for manipulation. The investigation climaxes in Central Park. As Myron walks through strawberry fields, his phone buzzes with warnings of someone tracking his signal. Without warning, a bullet strikes his neck, followed by another through his back. He falls onto the memorial stone mosaic, blood staining the word "Imagine." Through his pain, Myron sees the shooter, Grace Connors, Beau's mother, and Greg's supposed love interest, approaching with cold determination. Jeremy appears unexpectedly, displaying remarkable skills. In a sacrificial move, he clamps his hand over the gun as it fires, the bullet piercing his palm. Greg Downing arrives and fires three precise shots, killing Grace. This bloody encounter reveals Grace's manipulation. Her killing spree began with Jordan Crovett to protect Beau from scandal, then evolved into calculated murders. She had infiltrated Greg's life as cover while planning to frame him for her crimes. Isn't it terrifying how those closest to us often have the greatest power to destroy us? Grace weaponized intimacy, turning trust into vulnerability. 6 weeks after the shooting, a recovering Myron travels to Marrakesh for a final confrontation with Greg Downing. Despite his weakened state, Myron needs closure. When Greg finds Myron in his hotel room, his shock turns to resignation. Cornered, Greg confesses he and Grace were a serial killing team. He planned while she executed the violence. Their killing began with Jordan Crava to protect Beau, but continued for the thrill, always framing others. Their downfall came when Clay Callister returned home unexpectedly. After Greg killed both Cecilia and Clay, leaving DNA evidence, they implemented their backup plan with Grace pretending to frame Greg. However, Grace went rogue by trying to frame Jeremy, crossing Greg's line. Greg reveals he discovered Jeremy wasn't really his son, but protected him anyway, showing unexpected complexity. When Myron asks if Greg thinks he can escape, Greg stares out the window, says, "It ends now," and hurls himself to his death, both escaping justice and taking final responsibility. How strange that even in monsters, traces of humanity exist. Greg's protection of Jeremy, suggesting love and evil can coexist in the same heart. The setup serial killer's brilliance lies in exploiting our justice system's reliance on evidence. By creating overwhelming proof against innocent people, investigations close with no reason to connect seemingly unrelated crimes. This strategy weaponizes our faith in forensic science. When DNA evidence and digital footprints are deliberately manipulated, they frame the innocent while the truly guilty escape detection. The case forces us to question how we determine truth. If scientific evidence can be planted and protective systems turned against us, how can we be certain of what's real? Myron solves the case through logical deduction and his understanding of people's motivations and capacity for both deception and love. In a world where digital footprints can be manipulated, our greatest protection may lie in human connections. The challenge isn't just recognizing deception in others, but maintaining authenticity in an increasingly fabricated reality.